setting here, and it's set for the first reader. The first, if you're the first reader, it's nice, but you don't have to turn the page for the second reader.
Yeah.
And then this paper, I'm not going to do it right now because I still need to practice. You put underneath here with the prayers of the faithful, so that's just left there.
Yeah.
And then we all know where to find it. If you're the second reader, then you take this book after the second reader because the priest is going to need to put the gospel in. So you pick up the book, you close the book, and we sometimes put it there. The new protocol is to put it on that table. So I don't really think it matters, to be honest. But you get it off of here so that the priest can put the gospel in. If you forget, it's not the end of the world. The priest just puts the gospel on top of it. But try and remember, because that's handy. And if you're the first, you'll see, just watch today, the first reader of the gospel on the altar and bow. Any questions about this?
No, this is good.
Okay, I'm going to practice this and then I'm going to put it back.
Thank you.
difficulty using the procession.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. Benedict Parish. It's nice to see you here. Today we are celebrating the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and our celebrant today is Father Colombiso. Readings for today's Mass can be found in Breaking Bread, page 166. And please join us in singing the gathering song and the worship aid. That will be Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we are celebrating the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Let us pray, therefore, that guided by the Holy Spirit, we may celebrate worthily this precious mystery. And to prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us begin by calling to mind our sins and ask the Lord for his mercy and pardon. I confess May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. God, our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery, grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Now I would like to invite all the children who would like to participate in the children's liturgy to please come forward. Dear catechists, receive the book of the Word of God, which you are going to use to teach these children who have been entrusted into your care. And you, my dear children, you will now go forward to praise God in word and song. We will await your return so that together we can celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Go in peace.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him, and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people, yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own. The word of the Lord.
Glory and praise forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all ages. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim. Praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we gather and celebrate one of the most profound teachings of the Church, the belief in one God and three distinct persons. This is a teaching that the Christian religion brought on top of what the Israelites believed in. The Israelites believed in one God, but the nature of that one God
is different from the way Christians believe in that one God. For a long time, human beings have been fascinated by the idea of God. Who is God? In ancient times, people believed in different gods, so many gods. But then, in the Israelite faith, the belief was there are not many gods, but one God. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, we now understand that the nature of this one God, within this one God, we have three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is actually because of this teaching that when we enter this church, we bless ourselves with holy water, with the sign of the cross. And you know, with the sign of the cross, we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the most famous greetings at Mass is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, which is actually part of the second reading for us today. So what does this tell us? It tells us that with the coming of Jesus, God was revealed to us as triune. So today we celebrate the most holy Trinity. The word Trinity itself is not in the Bible. However, what we proclaim in this doctrine is found in the Bible. And as I said, the church has taught this from the beginning of the church itself. Because it was Jesus himself who revealed this mystery to us. And there are several passages in the Bible that we can cite. But before I do that, I must also stress the fact that this teaching has not been without controversies. In the 4th century, the church experienced what is perhaps the most heated theological debate about the Trinity. Beginning from 318 AD to 381 AD. That was during the rise of the Arian heresy, Arianism. It was started by a very charismatic preacher by the name of Arius in Alexandria in Egypt. He was trying to protect the Christian teaching of monotheism, belief in one God. But then, when we believe in one God, so what is the relationship of Jesus to God the Father? Arianism taught that Jesus was created by God the Father. So, as a creature, there was a time that Jesus was not. And Jesus is subordinate to God the Father. His bishop, Bishop Alexander, was shocked to hear this. And of course, after several attempts, he was excommunicated and his teachings were condemned as heresy. But because Arius was a charismatic preacher, he kept on spreading his teachings. Actually, that led to the convocation of the Council of Nicaea. We actually recite the Nicene Creed at Mass. That was in direct response to that. The Council of Nicaea was held in 325 AD. When we recite the Nicene Creed, we notice that there is so much emphasis on the divinity of Jesus. Perhaps the most important phrases that are in there, the phrase begotten, not made, which is actually in direct response to this heresy of Arianism. So Jesus was begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, meaning that Jesus shares the same substance with God the Father. Jesus shares the same divine substance. And the church did not just make this teaching. The church listened to the revelation of God in Jesus himself. So when we read the Bible, when we read the New Testament, or even the Old Testament, there are several passages that we can say, how can we interpret this in the light of God as one? So, for example, on Ascension Sunday, Jesus instructed his disciples to go out into the world and preach the good news. And those who believe should be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So why that baptismal formula? Why in the name of the Father and not in the names of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Why did Jesus attach his name to the baptismal formula and the Holy Spirit as well? When Jesus was also responding to the Jewish leaders, because he was talking about Abraham, and they said, when you talk about Abraham, you speak as if you have seen Abraham. You are not yet 50 years old. Why do you speak of Abraham like that? And Jesus responded by saying, before Abraham was, I am. When they heard that response, they picked up stones to stone him to death. Why? Because they understood what Jesus meant by that statement. That I am statement was a direct reference to the name of God himself, God the Father. At the burning bush in the Old Testament, God revealed his name to Moses as I am who I am. Moses had asked God, you are sending me to the Israelites. When they ask me, what is the name of the God who has sent you to us? What shall I tell them? God responded by saying, I am who I am. That's my name, which actually translates the word Yahweh. So in the New Testament, Jesus uses that name for himself. Before Abraham was, I am. It means he claims the same name, the same divine name. And about the Holy Spirit, last Sunday we were celebrating Pentecost, and we listened to the conversation that was there between the risen Christ and his disciples. And Jesus began by breathing on the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. That aspect of breathing on the disciples was so significant, because the Holy Spirit was present at creation in the book of Genesis. That's what we read. Before God created everything, the earth was like a formless void. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And when God had created the first human being, the first human being was just lying lifeless, until God breathed into the nostrils of that man, and he became a living being. So after his resurrection, by breathing on the disciples, Jesus was making a point that just as the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of creation, the same Holy Spirit is also present at the beginning of the new creation, the new church. So today we celebrate this mystery. As I said, this is a mystery, not like a puzzle which should be solved, but a mystery which was revealed by Jesus, which must be accepted in faith. A mystery is something that we cannot fully comprehend with our limited intellect. Like transubstantiation, which happens every time the priest stretches his hands over the gifts of bread and wine. The substance of bread changes to the substance of the flesh of Jesus. The substance of wine changes to the substance of blood, the blood of Jesus. How that happens, nobody can explain that. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He took bread, and after praying over that, he said, "This is no longer bread. This is my body," which is the feast we'll be celebrating this coming Sunday. So this is a mystery, just as the Holy Trinity is also a mystery. By calling it a mystery, which must be accepted in faith, we are not saying we now surrender our reasoning faculties, or we are refusing to think. But because this is what Jesus revealed as regards the nature of God, we must accept this in faith. Now, finally, much as we may never understand the how the three divine persons are called one God, much as we may never understand that in this life, but at least we can understand the why. God chose to live in a community, the community of God as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. And it is difficult for us to separate the Father from the Son, from the Holy Spirit, as three gods, because the binding force is love. So God chose to live in a community of these three divine persons based on love as the binding force. Now, when we worship this triune God, this must also have an effect on us. We too must be brought together by love, because the God that we worship is a triune God held together with love. Similarly, let us also live these in our lives by implementing love in our midst.
I believe in one God,
and the life of the world.
through the grace of the Son, we learn of the love of the Father and are drawn into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Through the Son, we come to the Father with prayers inspired by the Spirit.
For the Holy Catholic Church, that we may be one in faith in the triune God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this world, that it may be saved through the Son sent by the Father, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those who do not accept the true God, that they may come to the peace and love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For ourselves celebrating this Eucharist, that we may help one another with the love which reflects the Trinity, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the well-being of all within our parish family, especially those who are ill or suffering in any way, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those that have died, that they may rejoice forever in the glorious life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, receive the prayers of this people filled with His Holy Spirit, and offering Christ, your only Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Our offertory hymn is in your worship aid. It's entitled Firmly, I Believe and Truly.
Holy Mary, Mother of Mercy, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept
the sacrifice at your hands, for the praise of the world, sanctify by the invocation of your name, we pray, O Lord our God, this oblation of our service, and by it make of us an eternal offering to you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit, you are one God, one Lord. Not in the unity of a single person, but in a trinity of one substance. For what you have revealed to us of your glory, we believe equally of your Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that in confessing of the true and eternal Godhead, you might be adored in what is proper to each person, their unity in substance, and their equality in majesty. For this is praised by angels and archangels, cherubim too and seraphim, who never cease to cry out each day, as with one voice they acclaim,
blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant, Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you, In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all those who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Christ taught us to call God our Father. And so at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
And now let us take a moment to offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the receiving of this sacrament, O Lord our God, bring us health of body and soul as we confess your eternal Holy Trinity and undivided unity through Christ our Lord.
We invite everyone to our next parish listening session this Thursday, immediately following the 6 p.m. Mass at St. Benedict. Father Parrish will host, and the reflection question is, what opportunities and challenges exist for our parish family? Our parish family will hold a special Mass for the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus on June 12th, Friday at 6 p.m. at St. Alphonsus, followed by Eucharistic Adoration. We invite all children to join us for a fun and faith-filled week of Vacation Bible School at St. John, happening August 10th through 14th. And we thank you for your generous support of our annual Catholic Appeal. We have reached 57% of our goal, which is awesome. Yeah! We have $16,000 left to go. And I'm just going to say, it's okay to donate twice. In fact, when I hear our Pope speaking with kindness and compassion and advocating for peace to our world leaders, and I heard Father Ryan come up and talk to us a few weeks ago that we have 6, possibly 7 young men joining the seminary this year, and that's where our Catholic Appeal money is going. That is money well spent. I don't care about the kneelers, but I care about having another Mass at St. Benedict's. And I care about having another priest at St. Benedict's. So I think we can all just dig a little deeper and maybe make that second donation. I did. In fact, I may go home and make a third. We can do this. And in giving, we have a special collection for the St. Martin de Porres Sandwich Making Ministry. Thank you for your continued generosity. And lastly, see all of you at Coffee and Donuts in the school cafeteria. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne, for that. I was actually reminded by the parish to make a pitch, really, on the annual Catholic Appeal. But with how you have presented it, I don't think I have anything more to add on that. I guess the message is quite clear, but maybe just to remind ourselves, our goal as St. Benedict is actually 21,000, $38,016. And then the families that have pledged so far, 52 families, these are the ones that have contributed like 57%. So as she has ably announced, we are still remaining with $16,000 to reach our goal. Now, any excess funds beyond that will be used for our rebate project, which is to refurbish our monstrance. We're actually going to use the monstrance this coming Sunday during the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because this is also an act of worship. And then any other funds that may be in excess of our goal will be used to fix the kneelers right here in church and also for the maintenance of the youth room. So indeed, the annual Catholic Appeal supports over 60 ministries within the Archdiocese of Seattle. And please be part of that ministry. The Lord be with you. Bow down your heads and pray for God's blessing. And to the following prayers, please respond, Amen. May Almighty God bless you in his kindness and pour out saving wisdom upon you. May he nourish you always with the teachings of the faith and make you persevere in holy deeds. May he turn your steps towards himself and show you the path of charity and peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Please join us in singing our recessional hymn and your worship aid. God, we praise you.
God, we praise you. God, we bless you. God, we name you sovereign Lord. Mighty King, whom angels worship, Father, why your church adore. All creation shows your glory. Heaven and earth from your throne. Singing, holy, 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 Lord of hosts and God alone. True apostles, faithful prophets, saints who set their world ablaze, martyrs once unknown and heathen, join the growing song of praise. While your church on earth confesses one majestic Trinity, Father, Son,